This is Bobby Hardy with the commercial news for Vermilion County for Friday, September 4th, 2020. We'll start with a cover story. Commission doesn't recommend rezoning. Out of Danville, a rezoning request for the new proposed casino site now needs a two-thirds vote of the Danville City Council or 10 of 14 aldermen to be approved at its September 15th meeting after the Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission Thursday recommended denying rezoning the property. The Zoning Commission voted 5-1 against rezoning 204 Eastgate Drive from an I-2 general industrial zoning to a B-3 general business zoning for Danville Development LLC proposed temporary casino. Commissioners Tracy Taylor, Michael Hall, Ted Vaqueta, Troy Savalik, and Justin Fleming voted against it, while Pete Goodwin voted for it. Commissioner Adam Brown was absent. Zoning commissioners had concerns about future uses of the site, with bars, packaged liquor stores, and other uses allowable in general business zoning, and additional traffic from the casino with the semi, tractor trailers, and other vehicles along Lynch Road. It's incompatible with the industrial area, Vaqueta said. He said he looked at all the potential uses in a specific zoned district. That is a major obstacle for this particular property, Vaqueta said, about it going to B3 zoning. He also pointed out that the owner of the property wasn't in the petition and a traffic count wasn't included. A traffic study is planned. I honestly believe there are better locations, Taylor said, adding that she understands it would be temporary with plans, if successful, to move it closer to the interstate. Taylor also said this wouldn't be the first time where the Zoning Commission doesn't recommend approving a rezoning, and the City Council disagrees with the Commission. Also speaking against the rezoning was Michael Mervis, whose family owns industrial property surrounding the new proposed casino site and near the interstate where the casino had been proposed. He, too, voiced concerns about parking, traffic issues with semi-trucks, and brought up how there are loud industrial sites near the new proposed temporary casino site. This is literally going to be a box with slots, Mervis said. He said there are sites elsewhere which are zoned appropriately. Local attorney Andrew Mudd, speaking for Danville Development LLC, said the site after the temporary casino would be moved would still be used for offices, a training facility for employees, as well as a storage and testing center for new games. Mudd also said Danville Development LLC is under contract to purchase the site. Also attending the meeting was Lou Lang, who is part of Danville Development LLC and a former state representative. The Eastgate site is currently a distribution storage warehouse. Proposed use is for a casino, gaming, and entertainment facility by Rochester, New York's Danville Development LLC, Wilmot Family, with Will Moore Wright Construction. One of the pre-engineered metal buildings of about 60,000 square feet would be used for the gaming facility. The remaining 50,000 square feet of structures would be demolished. The Illinois Department of Transportation would have to approve an additional curb cut for traffic. Drainage to meet capacity needs also to be addressed. City staff feels the requested rezoning is appropriate, considering the adjacent zoning district to the southeast and the lack of development in the proposed rezoning area. Staff has the understanding that the proposed rezone has historically been an industrial use, but considering the potential investment in the property, we feel positive economic impact could be achieved. In other business, the Zoning Commission recommended approving major variances for setbacks at 1 Logan Avenue, at Logan Avenue and Main Street for OSF Healthcare, looking to expand its services with another urgent care medical facility. The vacant 0.47-acre lot is adjacent to the gas station at Gilbert and Main Streets. Proposed construction is a 3,200-square-foot medical building and parking. Major variance requests are for a reduction of the front yard on the west side from 12 feet to 8.74 feet and reduction of the side requirement on the north and east sides from 10 feet to 5 feet. Vaqueta voiced concern about unknown traffic with the Carl project. Two other zoning requests that had been in the meeting agenda for an athletic training facility and a neighborhood convenience store were not heard. Still on the front page, there is a picture of a school bus and the title School Supplies. Danville District 118 staff members, including those pictured with Mark Denham Elementary School, delivered school supplies Wednesday through today to kindergarten through 8th grade students' homes who will be remote learning. Danville School starts back for the 2020-2021 school year on Tuesday. Also on the front page, Oakwood ratifies staff contract out of Oakwood. Oakwood Community Unit School District 76 board members Wednesday night ratified a 4-year contract with the district's certified and non-certified staff. The contract will be retroactive to July 1st and run through June 30th, 2024. The contract already had been ratified by Oakwood Education Association on August 28th. We had a final meeting on the agreement August 27th, and the next day the Oakwood Education Association took a vote on it, Superintendent Larry Maynard said. It passed extremely well. The school board's bargaining and negotiation committee recommended that the board ratify the contract, which covers 138 employees, during a special meeting on Wednesday. It covers everyone in the district except bus drivers, administrators, and unit office workers, Maynard said. The dollar amounts of the pay increases vary depending on an employee's job and are incremental during each of the 4 years. The new contract also increases the health insurance cap, meaning that the district will increase what it pays toward the employee's coverage. We have two different trains we're chasing, Maynard said. One is the state minimum wage laws, in which the increases are already determined for us, and the other is the teacher minimum salary laws in Illinois. We had to figure out how we could meet the guidelines and the challenges, he said. Maynard said the whole negotiation process, which began June 6, was amicable. It was a 14-week process, and we had all our decisions out in the open, he said. We met every 2 weeks until we got down to the end, and then we met once a week. Each meeting started with a meal and conversation. I've never experienced such respect and orderliness as I've experienced during these negotiations, Maynard said. The most important thing is the process, because that's what everyone remembers. So you want to do it respectfully and orderly and support everyone, he added. Our last cover story, Illinois surpasses 240,000 COVID-19 cases out of Springfield. Illinois surpassed another grim milestone Thursday as the total number of COVID-19 cases passed the 240,000 mark. The Illinois Department of Public Health on Thursday reported 1,360 new confirmed cases of the disease and 25 additional virus-related deaths over the previous 24 hours, bringing the statewide total since the pandemic began to 240,003 known cases and 8,115 deaths. The recovery rate for those 42 days removed from a positive diagnosis is 95%, according to IDPH. The most recent deaths were reported in 14 counties. Ages of the victims ranged from people in their 50s to their 90s. Laboratories reported processing 40,795 tests over the 24-hour period, which made for a single-day test positivity rate of 3.3%. That helped to lower the 7-day rolling average positivity rate by 0.1% to 4.4%. IDPH noted, however, that it is still expecting delays in processing data for its daily public reports due to the large volume of testing being conducted. All available resources are being deployed to improve our data system throughput, and we anticipate improvement in data processing as the week proceeds, the department said in a news release. Although the slowdown has delayed the reporting of some additional aggregate numbers, this has not affected the reporting of positive or negative results to individuals in any way. As of Wednesday night, 1,620 people in Illinois were hospitalized with COVID-19. Of those, 360 patients were in intensive care units, and 144 patients with COVID-19 were on ventilators. All of the numbers remained slightly above their pandemic lows. Meanwhile, the number of Illinois workers filing first-time unemployment claims fell slightly last week, according to the U.S. Department of Labor. During the week that ended Saturday, August 29th, the state saw 24,116 people file initial claims for jobless benefits, down from 26,262 the week before. The number of people receiving continuing unemployment benefits also fell to 555,582, which is 37,723, fewer than the previous week. An additional 4,433 workers filed first-time claims for pandemic unemployment assistance, the federally funded program for gig workers, independent contractors, and others who don't normally qualify for regular unemployment. That was an increase of 264 from the prior week. There are 118,968 people in Illinois receiving continuing PUA benefits during the week, down 798 from the prior week. We'll move now to the obituaries. Out of Alvin, Drennan, Sharon K. Claypool Drennan, 80, passed away peacefully on Tuesday, September 1st, 2020, at Heritage Health Therapy and Senior Living in Hoopston. Cremation rites will be accorded. Graveside service is 11 a.m. Tuesday, September 8th, 2020, at Bethel Cemetery in rural Alvin. Out of Georgetown, Covington, Nancy Ann Covington, 76, passed away at 9:45 p.m. Friday, August 28th, 2020, at Garden View Manor Nursing Home in Danville. Services will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, September 8th, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown. Burial will be at Rest Haven Cemetery, Lafayette, Indiana. West Lebanon, Indiana. Miles, Richard Lee Miles, 70, passed away on Friday, August 28th, 2020, at his residence. Services are at the Grady Funeral Home in Williamsport on Saturday, September 5th, 2020, at 11 a.m. Out of Williamsport, Indiana. Palmer, Johnny Lynn Palmer, 64, formerly of Stone Bluff, passed away unexpectedly on Monday, August 31st, 2020. Visitation will be Saturday, September 5th, from 11 until the service time at 1 p.m. at Ma's Funeral Home in Attica. Lucas, Mara Lou Lucas, 93, of Danville, passed away Monday, August 31st, 2020, at Colonial Manor in Danville. Visitation will be Tuesday, September 8th, 2020, from 10:30 to 11:30 at Kruger Cone Pape Funeral Home at 10 East Williams Street in Danville. IDPH guidelines regarding mandatory mask and social distancing will be upheld. Service will follow with the private family burial at Danville National Cemetery. Stube, Dorothy Evelyn Stube, 96, of Mattoon, passed away on September 1st, 2020. A celebration of Dorothy's life will take place at 2 p.m. on Friday, September 4th, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation will be held prior to the service from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the funeral home. Burial will take place at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Taylor, Lester Bill Taylor, 97, of Chrisman, passed away at 4:23 a.m. Sunday, August 30th, 2020, at Pleasant Meadow Senior Living in Chrisman. A celebration of Bill's life will be held graveside at 2:30 p.m. Friday, September 4th, 2020, at Georgetown Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Friday, September 4th, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center. We'll move now to the community briefs. Out of Danville, golf outing set. The Knights of Columbus charity golf outing will be Saturday at Wolf Creek Golf Club. The four-person scramble will start at 10 a.m. The cost is $65 per person. Sponsor a hole for $75. Food and prizes will be available immediately following golf. Sign up at Wolf Creek or call Alan Rather Gerber at 217-304-8919. Music replaces cars. The annual Corvettes for Education and Classic Car Show has been canceled. Instead, Kilbourn Alley Blues Band will perform from 6 to 10 p.m. Sunday at the Untouchables Motorcycle Club at 106 Commercial Street. Cover charge is $10 for individuals and $15 for couples. Bring lawn chairs and keep your distance. All proceeds will support Loretta G. Randall Scholarship Fund. For information, call Lloyd Randall at 597-0593. Out of Hoopston, Golf Cart Parade. An unofficial Labor Day parade with golf carts will start at 10:30 a.m. Saturday at the Lorraine Theater and follow the normal parade route of the Sweet Corn Festival Parade. If you participate and want to give out candy, someone needs to walk alongside the cart and hand out candy. Carts must follow all traffic rules and make sure they are properly licensed. In other local news, Hoopston clarifies teacher contract. Out of Hoopston, the Hoopston School Board held a special meeting Wednesday evening to amend the HEA contract. One paragraph was omitted when the contract was approved July 16th, said Board President Dave McFadden. We are adding that back in. The HEA approved the amended contract on Wednesday, according to McFadden, and the board approved the amended contract that evening. The paragraph in question inserted was Article A 8.02D, which stated any teacher whose years of experience puts him or her beyond the top of a given salary lane referred herein as topped shall receive for a given year the top salary amount in her or his applicable education lane, plus the amount indicated on the salary schedule labeled longevity. This additional amount shall be continuously applied on a yearly basis to the teacher's previous year's salary so long as the teacher remains topped. The total salary of a top teacher in any given year shall therefore be the top salary of her or his salary lane for that year, plus the longevity amount for that previous and all longevity amounts previously earned by the teacher. The language inserted into the contract we feel brings clarity, Superintendent Robert Richardson said, to the intent of both HEA and Hoopston Area Board of Education. Also in the local section, officials urge residents to fill out census as deadline approaches. This is actually out of Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker spoke in Barron on Thursday to promote 2020 U.S. Census as the September 30th deadline for states to get their residents counted approaches. He was joined by Lieutenant Governor Julia Stratton and U.S. Representative Jesus Chai Garcia, among others. Pritzker and Stratton both emphasized the importance of an accurate census count, as response rate and population estimates are tied to federal funding, the apportionment of seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. A low response rate can also put millions of dollars in federal funding at risk across Illinois. The higher the count, the more of your federal tax dollars come back to Illinois instead of going to other states, Pritzker said. Just a 1% undercut could result in the states losing over $195 million in federal funds at a time when we frankly need the full funding we can get from Washington the most. That amounts to approximately $15,000 to $20,000 lost in federal funding per person undercounted in the census, according to Garcia. We come together today to remind our neighbors and families that everyone counts, regardless of citizenship and age, Garcia said. In 10 minutes, you can secure $20,000 over the next 10 years for our communities, for your families. According to Pritzker, Illinois is one of 10 states that pays more in federal taxes than it receives in federal funding. A high response rate to the 2020 census can change that. As the novel coronavirus pandemic wreaks havoc on the U.S. economy and tax revenue across the country and in Illinois, Pritzker stressed the importance of the census as it pertains to aid. Apportionment of federal funding from the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES Act, is partially based on the 2010 census counts. Stratton also emphasized the need for Latino Illinoisans to participate in the census and addressed fears of retaliation. Our census doesn't hurt, it helps. The census questionnaire will not ask for your citizenship status, she said. Your personal information will not be used against you in court or by any government agency like ICE. For far too long, some members of our Latino community have been told to keep their doors closed and not be seen, but no more. You have the power and you deserve to be seen and counted, she said. The Trump administration, a attempted to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census, but those efforts were blocked by multiple federal courts last year. It does not appear on the final form, and the respondent information is kept confidential by law. As of Wednesday, Illinois was number 7 in terms of self-response with a 69.8% rate. Illinois ranks 12th in total enumeration, or the percent of households in the state that have been counted in the census, at 89.8%. Among states with a population over 10 million, Illinois ranks first in both categories. In 2010, which only allowed self-response via mail, Illinois had a 70.5% rate. The 2020 census allows for residents to self-file a form online, through mail, or by phone. The state is on track to meet its 2010 response rate, but structural obstacles for filling out the census have kept response rates low in some parts of the state, including some rural counties and several census tracts on the south and west sides of Chicago, among others. Lack of access to broadband internet, the prevalence of P.O. boxes, which the Census Bureau does not send forms to, and the difficulty census door knockers have reaching rural residents all factor into some counties having response rates as low as 33.4%. The state has just 27 days to increase its response rate after the Trump administration shortened the deadline for reporting from the end of October to the end of September. We'll move now to a local sports story, Delayed Dreams. Miles, Danville, were scheduled to host Centennial out of Danville. Just before 7 p.m. tonight, Danville senior Devin Miles knows that his mind is going to wander a little bit. The 5'10", 175-pound running back for the Vikings has already spent months thinking about this night. Tonight was supposed to be the home opener for the Danville Vikings against the Champaign Centennial Chargers at Ned Whitesell Field. There is no doubt that I'm going to be thinking about running out of the tunnel and onto the football field, said Miles, who has rushed for 2,715 yards in his 2 years on the varsity team. But right now, it's frustrating and stressful knowing that we are supposed to be playing, and in other states, there are kids that are playing. This is my senior year. This is not how it was supposed to be. Miles, who has accounted for nearly 4,000 all-purpose yards and 48 touchdowns, is hoping for a spring season as Danville is slated to play at Champaign Central on March 6, 2021. But a spring season has created a little problem for Miles when it comes to his recruitment by colleges and universities. My plan was to have a great fall season so that I would have time to look at some schools and get more offers, said Miles, who currently holds offers from Illinois State, Western Illinois, Kentucky Wesleyan, Roosevelt University in Chicago, and Millikan. There are other schools that are contacting me, but those are my offers. With everything being pushed back to March and April, I will have to wait for my season to end and then quickly figure out what I'm going to do. Miles knows that some schools wanted to see more of him during his senior season. They want to see my speed, my route running ability, catching passes, and running stronger, said Miles, who is best known for being an elusive runner. A lot of the schools that I've talked to know about my running ability. And not only has the coronavirus pandemic cost Miles an opportunity to display his skill set this fall, it's also hampered his ability to work out. I'm doing whatever I can to make myself better, he said. I go to the Y whenever I get a chance. I will go out with my guys and work on running pass routes and catching the football. But we really didn't get a chance to do that this summer because of the IHSA rules. Beginning next week, teams will have an opportunity for actual contact days with their teams. Until school starts for Danville, which will also be next week, Miles has landed himself a job. I'm outside pushing carts every day at Walmart, he said. I'm just trying to earn a little money to help me when I go away to college. While Miles didn't get to spend very much time working on his football skills during the summer, he did get a chance to play on an AAU basketball team along with Danville teammates Nathaniel Hoskins and Tevon Smith. Their team, College Prospects, went on and won a tournament in Indianapolis. That was a lot of fun, said Miles. We put that team together in like a week and we went over to Indy and won the whole thing. It felt really good to be active again. So, what kind of goals has Miles set for himself this year? Originally, I wanted to bring a state title back to Danville, he said, admitting that the prospects of a full state playoff this year is highly unlikely, but we can still win every game that we play. I also want to lead the conference, and the state is re in rushing yards and touchdowns. Does he have a specific number in mind? Yeah, I'm thinking 2,000 yards, he said. With only a 7-game season scheduled, Miles will need to average nearly 300 yards per game. Of course, his career best was 329 yards in last year's win over Champaign Central. I knew I could do it, Miles added. There's only one thing that Miles won't be able to do, and that's run onto Ned Whitesell Field tonight. There is a reader poll results in the editorial section. Do you approve of the new proposed location for a casino in Danville near the intersection of I-74 and Lynch Road? Total votes were 300. Yes was 143, no 131, not sure 26. New reader poll now that movie theaters are reopening. Would you feel safe attending a movie if the audience follows safety protocols designed to mitigate the spread of coronavirus? To vote, visit www.commercial-news.com. In the letter to the editor, Suicide Prevention, be the one to help save a life. National Suicide Prevention Awareness Week is September 7th through the 13th. There's an average of 123 suicides each day in this country. Suicide is the 11th leading cause of death in the U.S. and the third leading cause of death among 15 to 24-year-olds. The members of Vermilion County Mental Health Initiative encourage you to educate yourself about the risk of suicide. Don't be afraid to ask the tough question when someone you know is in emotional pain. Are you thinking of killing yourself? In this time of uncertainty with COVID-19, it is especially important to take care of your mental health. Our goal is to reduce stigma, provide education and information about mental health, support those who have lost someone to suicide, and educate our community about suicide risks. Suicide prevention must be everyone's business. If you think someone is considering suicide, assume you are the only one who will reach out. Know the risk factors and warning signs that could lead to suicide listed on the Vermilion County Mental Health Initiative Facebook page. If a person says they are considering suicide, take it seriously, stay with them, remove lethal means, and get them to mental health services or an emergency room. If an imminent risk is present, call 911. Always let them know suicide is never the answer. Life is precious, and taking a minute to reach out can save a life. Remember, help is just a phone call away. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 800-273-TALK, which is 8255, if you or a loved one is facing a crisis. For local resources, check the resource list on our website, www.vermilioncounty.org/mental. The Vermilion County Mental Health 708 Board is hosting 3 youth mental health first aid trainings and 1 adult training in September. Please call our office at 217-443-3500 for more information. And that's from Jim Russell, Executive Director of Vermilion County Mental Health 708 Board. That brings us to the end of the commercial news for Vermilion County for September 4th, 2020. This has been Bobby Hardy. Stay safe and stay well.